I'm going to read you something out of, I'll read you 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there. Actually, why don't you go ahead and turn there? This isn't the sermon. I don't think, but I don't think it is. Actually, did I mess up? I think it is 1 Corinthians. Hold on. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 2. And then I'm going to go over to Ephesians real quick, too. So 1 Corinthians 2, why don't you go ahead and find 6. Ephesians 6, 1 Corinthians 2. Praise God. Everybody find those? Let's look at Ephesians 6 first. Let's do Ephesians 6, verse 17. It says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." You see that? What's Paul saying, and for me? He's saying praying always with all prayer for and supplications for the saints. And he says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me. Paul said this. Paul wrote, you know, all these books. Well, I thought he just already had it. Well, you know, you pray for individual times Paul said, you pray for me that I would be able to do what I need to do. Pray for me that utterance may be given to me and that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians. Hold your finger there in case we have to go back in Ephesians. But 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Notice something there. He said, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Notice he said his preaching was a demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Sometimes we just think, well, it's the gifts of the Spirit. That's a demonstration. Paul said his speech and his preaching, that it would be a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power. You know, you can have dead preaching, and then you can have preaching that is anointed by the Spirit of God and full of power. That'll change your life. That the presence of Almighty God is there to affect whatever is being brought forth by the Holy Spirit. That's what we need to hear. We don't need to hear a nice talk, as people call it now. You know, do a talk. I'm not doing a talk. You know, we're preaching what and teaching under the unction and under the anointing of God Almighty. And there's a punch there. It's not men. He said, it's not with my wisdom. He said, I don't want to come to you. When he says of excellence of speech or wisdom, he's not saying there's no wisdom or good speech there. He's saying he didn't come to you as some guy that's just, all it is speech and man's wisdom. Like it looks good, but there's no punch there. He said, I came to you with the power of Almighty God. He said, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. You can give a good persuasive argument, but there's no meat there. You know, if it's not based on the Word of God, it can sound good, but it's not actually going to change anybody's life. It's not, you can't make doctrine off of somebody's opinion. Well, it sounds good, sounds reasonable. Who cares? Did God say it or not? Because if God said it, okay. If God didn't say it, I don't care who said it. I don't care how good it sounds or how much you like it. If you don't have scripture for it, then it's not Bible-based, which means throw it away. Yeah, but I really like that guy. So, there's a whole bunch of people in the world that like all kinds of stuff, and none of it is based on the Word of God. And, you know, the number of people following something doesn't mean anything either. There are whole lots of people following things that know nothing about Jesus. But they believe it. We're not after the shiny, new, sounds good. What we're after is the power of the living God. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. So I said to say, when we pray at the beginning of the service, it's not that I haven't prayed, it's not that I haven't prepared, it's that we are joining our joint faith together for this time in history at this point and saying, Lord God, help Jim, help him. Just like Paul said, pray for me that I should speak. Let's go back over there to Ephesians. He said, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's my prayer when we come in, that I would speak as I ought to speak as an anointed minister of God to speak what we need now. Not just to pass time here. Not just say, well, we preached another sermon. Who cares? Nor are we saying what God would have us to say at this point in history for those that are present, those that will hear the message on the recording, not just to say, that was good, but to change our lives. To draw closer to Him. To come up closer, things that we've been bound by, that they would fall off by the power of God, because we'd get an answer. We'd say, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. I see it now. God brings us to a certain level, brings us up through His Spirit. If we are doing what we ought to do, then we are hooking up with Him right now, and He is ministering to His sheep, His people, through the anointing, through a minister of God, of Him to bring us up and grow us up. It's not a man, it's a man working with Him, and He's working through the man to get what he needs done. Huge difference. Lives are changed. We walk away refreshed, just strengthened on the inside, ready for something out there that we've been facing. We don't know, but now we know. Now we feel armed. Now we feel ready. Amen. Hallelujah. You guys ready? That's not the sermon. Praise God. You guys ready to pray? Release faith. This is not an exercise. This is, and then you guys know in Matthew it says, if two of you agree as touching anything on this earth, it will be done. So what we're doing is we're saying we're agreeing for that. The same thing the way Paul said, that's what we want. That's what we want here. And now the power of God manifest. Amen? Whatever you want, Lord. Lord, we just come to you as your servants, as your children. We're your children. We serve you. We come to you willingly. Not because we have to, not because it's buying anything, but because we're already in the family. And we want to just come before you. Lord, we look to you, not a man right now. Lord, we come before you. You said if we agree as touching anything, it would be done. So Lord, we come before you. We ask you for utterance, for unction in the Holy Spirit, that I would speak your words exactly as I need to speak this morning, that I would flow with you. Lord, that eyes would be opened, that ears would be those that hear, and hearts would be those that understand. Lord, we yield ourselves to you right now. Lord, teach us, guide us by your Spirit. Lord, we open ourselves to your truth and your word. And as we see, we will be receptive as a word from you, not as a word from a man, but as a word from you, the God Almighty, through your mighty Spirit who teaches us. And when we receive it, we'll say, we'll change, we'll tweak, we'll do whatever we need to do to align with that word, because we'll take it as your direction to us, and for you trying to raise us up and bring us to a new level. And Lord, as we do that, as we walk with you, and as we change, we'll give you all the glory and the honor and the praise, and look to you and say, it was the Lord, it was his word, it was his help. That's who's made me what I am today. I don't take credit for it. I depend on my God. And we will be glorifying you in the presence of others and pointing them to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I think it was worth coming just for that this morning. Amen. Glory to God. So we talked last week about, we called it whatever things are true. And if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to go listen to that. We can't recap everything, although that was kind of a flyover. Touched all these different things. I want to go specifically in a certain area related to that today. But let's look at your sheet to review. Philippians 4:8 says, Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue or if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now we focused on that first part. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. Whatever things are true. Philippians 4:8 in the NIV says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, noble, whatever is right, and so on and so forth. And at the end he says, think about such things. In the New Living Translations, it says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true. What is actually true? We talked about how you'll react, even if something's not true in reality, if you think it's true, you'll react like it's true. So in other words, somebody comes up and tells you something that's not true. If somebody came up and said, your car's been broken into and smashed and all the stuff is gone and the tires are shredded, you could react as if that's true, even though it's a bald-faced lie, right? Well, there's all kinds of those things in our lives where we're reacting like something is true, even though it's not true. And we know there is a source, original source of all these lies. Now, men lie, but they do it like their father, or they do it under influence of the one who is the father of all lies, and that is the enemy. Let's look at John 8. We read these last week, so we're going to go over them pretty quick, I think. John 8:44 says, you are of your father, the devil. And we read the context of this last week. We're not going to do that for the sake of time, but he's talking to the religious leaders. And he said, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. He is the original liar. He lied to himself to such a degree that he thought he could take on God Almighty and win. And he convinced, he lied to the other angels, and they have believed him, that we have a chance in this thing. That's complete foolishness, right? That was never going to happen. God will be not, he will not be taken out by anyone. Yet, Satan actually deceived himself. He lied to himself to where he thought he had a chance. And then he convinced everybody else they have a chance too. Just because somebody's really earnest in what they're saying and really convincing doesn't mean they're right. You know? There's all kinds of people in the world that are directing other people and getting them to follow, and they're flat out just they're going completely under the path in the path of a lie. And, well, I'm going to be like them. Well, people follow lies all the time. That's why we need to be grounded in the truth. Revelation 12:9 says, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So he is, the devil and Satan, it says, he deceives the whole world. That's what he does. Look at the next scripture there, Revelation 20, verse 1, says, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more. Till the 1,000 years were finished, but after these things, he must be released for a little while." We're not getting into all that this morning, but the Bible says he's going to be shut up, and then he's going to be released for a while. Revelation 20, verse 7 says, "Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations." Notice, he deceives the nations, he gets locked up, he can't, and as soon as he gets out, what does he do? He's going to go right back and he's going to start deceiving again. That's what he does. "He's going to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and they were tormented day and night forever." So the source of deception, the source of lies, the original source is Satan. He is the deceiver. We read the Bible says he is the father of it. We read that he deceives. What does it mean to deceive? I mean, I think we know generally, but I want to read you out of Strong's in a few things. Strong says, "To cause to roam." Notice this. This is interesting. "To cause to roam from safety, truth, or virtue." To cause to go the wrong way. So to cause to roam from safety, truth, or virtue. To go astray. To deceive. To err. To seduce. To wander, to be out of the way. That's what deceive means. You see, you're supposed to be here, and deceiving, if you're deceived, you end up over here. Whether it's, you're supposed to be here in truth, but you end up over here. You're supposed to be here, safe, but you end up over here. You're deceived. Young people have a strong temptation in this earth, always have, and it's stronger probably than ever, to be deceived and to be tempted away from truth, away from safety, away from, you know, good things, and to be tempted and deceived by things that look good but actually lead to death. And you can see it coming a mile away, you know? You see people set up for it. You see all the glitter and the power that is so called that, you know, we talk about media. Good night. Now it's just a constant flood on, you know, you could have 5 devices. You know, I was on a conference call this week and we were calling this guy And he had already answered, but the thing was still ringing because he had another device in the room that was, you know, ringing the same thing. I was like, are you going to shut that one off? And so, you know, he says, sometimes I got four things ringing at me. Well, you know, you have so many channels. We have so many channels that are coming at us with information. And young people have so much being bombarded, you know, being shown to them that it looks good. But it is a manufactured, I mean, you could call anything pretty much you see a lie. When you see, I mean, in the sense that something's not outright deception, but it's certainly not a representation of what is. Even if it's a good, wholesome thing, those people aren't really those people that you're seeing. They really probably have layers of makeup. They probably have after-production, post-production things done to make them look different than they really did. They're reading scripts, so it means they don't really feel those emotions. You know, these people that you see that are the quote-unquote stars, they have, you know, 20 people working with them to make us look as good as they can and to say all the right things. It's not reality, but it's made to look like reality. And then kids go, oh, I want to be that person. Yeah, but you don't see them crying on their bed and, you know, completely hung over and strung out in drugs and completely despair. All you see is after people have slapped them in the face and poured cold water on them and made them up, you know, through 20 layers of makeup and, you know, all this stuff and got them cleaned up, and then they put them in front of the camera with lines they're supposed to read, and then they say, hey, everything's awesome, and kids go, yeah, that's what I want too, and what are you doing? I'm going to go do the same thing you're doing. And then, wait a minute, this isn't turning out the way I thought it would turn out. Wait. You know, you have sex before marriage, and wait, there's a baby? They never told me this. I mean, I know they said it, but surely that wouldn't happen to me. It never happens in the movies I watch. What? Wait a minute. You know, you get drunk, and you have a hangover the next day, and it hurts, and gosh, if you do that often enough, you miss work, and you can't pay your bills, and you know, gosh, you know, gambling's really fun, but then when it starts taking all your money, and nobody ever told me everybody would leave me and I wouldn't have anything to pay my bill. I mean, it doesn't look like it ever works out that way. What was going on? Deception. Yeah. Believing a lie. Yeah. The things they didn't tell you. Just trying to, you know, go this way. It looks really good until it doesn't. Until you hit a wall and wait a minute. That's the other part of the story. Oh, I'm just going to get mad and I'm going to go tell my boss where to go. Well, might be funny on some show where he does that, but then when you do it and you don't have a job the next day and you don't want to go back to that job because you're humiliated and you have mouths to feed, doesn't look so cool then. Yeah, but it looks like it would be really cool just to tell him where to go. Okay. You know what the other part of the story is? Huh? You don't have a job now. You look like, you know, you completely freaked out and they don't want to work with you and you're unstable. And that's, what is all the cause of that? Deception. Believe in something? Well, I just want to say this. It'd be really cool because it's really funny when people on TV, you know, zing them back. Say something and, what's the word they call? Burn, you know. Ooh, burn. Now say, you know. When you get them back, it's a burn. That's cool. I mean, it's just the thing people use. We used awesome, awesome, awesome in the 80s. Now everybody uses awesome because we're all grown up. Cools from the 40s, whatever. That's cool. But, you know, you get somebody back and you lose them as a friend because you really zinged them because it was cool, make other people laugh. Well, maybe it's not so nice after you actually do it, because then people don't trust you. Now, all these things that we have that are lies that have been told to us, it should be like this. Well, you know, that person looks really good. That's not your spouse. Wonder what it'd be like to be with them. Or that guy, boy, I really wish my husband were like him. Yeah, but, and the devil will show you one side of it. Just the good side. You'll just twist it over here and say, ooh, doesn't it look good? He doesn't show you this side. That may look, you know, too much like the side of the person you're already with. Well, you realize if you got that package, all this stuff comes with it. Full disclosure, here's all you get. you might say, no, thank you. But that's not what happens. Deception. He just says, twinkle, twinkle, twinkle. Oh, see, look at that person. They're awesome. They don't ever make a mistake. They are super nice all the time. They're way better looking, except you haven't seen the 15 surgeries they've gotten and all the crap they've done, you know, to themselves to make that look good. He won't show you that. He's going to show you this little part. To cause you to stray, to come out from the truth, to go away from what is good. That's what deception is. And the devil is the father of it. He is the deceiver. Vine says to deceive, to leading, by leading into error, to seduce. I like that. Because that's exactly what all deception does. Whether you talk about seduce, you know, we think of it, you know, somebody seducing somebody in romantic or somewhat manner like that. But seduce is anything. You can be seduced by a car. I know a guy, you know, he was older than me, but he was a guy that worked in our company, my dad's company when I was a teenager. Man, he was a person that was working with our company, and he was in his mid-20s and, you know, had a job now, and he started looking at sports cars, a specific sports, a Mazda RX-7 back in the, you know, mid-80s. It looked kind of like a Porsche 944, but it wasn't. But it looked good and it was fast. He started coming to work with these glossy pamphlets all the time. You know, you go down that road, you know where that leads if you don't get off. Why do they give you those glossy pamphlets with all the information? So you can look at it and look at it and look at it and look at it and look at it. And you just get to the point where there's no option. I pretty much have to get this thing. Why? Because you've already seen yourself in it. The payment's only this much, but then I could be driving that thing, and you know the commercials, and I'm cool, and you know I get to drive around this thing. And he bought it. And it wasn't until afterwards, and a ways down, he's like, "That was the stupidest thing I could have done." Why? What they don't tell you. I mean, when you buy a brand new sports car, I'm not against sports cars. You have the money to buy a sports car, fine, go out and buy it. But what young men do, particularly with this, they're not just seduced by girls, they're seduced by gadgets. And cars in particular. If I have that car, I'm going to look super cool. And the girls are going to like me. And, you know, I get to drive around on it. What they don't tell you is those payments that look so small when you're in an apartment, when you want to actually go buy a house or something, you're not actually putting the money where you should, and your income, you know, doesn't match what these expenses are, and you just have to keep paying on it. And guess when you have that thing paid off, it's not worth near what it was, and now you have to go buy another means of transportation. And, you know, the thing requires maintenance, which costs more money, which they don't tell you. It's not just the payment of using it and getting it. You got to maintain the thing. And so, you know, down the road, it's not just that guy. I've heard guys, I mean, I had one of my best friends in high school. Went out, man, he got an engineering job, went and bought this super nice car. And he came, same thing. He came back, he goes, "That was so stupid." After he got married and they're still paying on that thing. I mean, it was a nice vehicle, but way out of his price range. But he could afford it, quote unquote. You just got to make the payments. You just can't afford anything else, but you can afford this. You know, you want to go on a vacation, you want to buy a house, you want to do anything. So that's seduction. What is it? It's deception. We can see that stuff. In other people's lives, you know, we're laughing because, you know, after you go and do some of that dumb stuff, you can see somebody else and go, "Here we go. You see this person, he's walking this way, there's the wall, he's going to hit it in, 2 weeks. You know it. But in our lives, deception is not that easy. That person is deceived. Why? He doesn't know the truth, or he doesn't have somebody to come over and go, "Hey, buddy, this is what you're going to do." But if we'll listen, God is doing that with us. But in our lives, Satan is not stupid. He is a deceiver, and he deceives the whole world because he's good at it. And he's twisted. And he doesn't just walk out in the middle and say, "Hey, you, I want to mess your life up. Here, go do this, and you'll be paying for it for the next 15 years. He doesn't do that. He does it really sly. And he does it to different people. You may see somebody else that it looks really obvious, like the examples we're saying, well, I would never do that. Yeah, but what are we letting in and what are we believing that is actually a lie, that actually he's deceived us and we don't see it quite so clearly? Because when he brings it to you, it's a lot like with your understanding where you are, it may seem true. Just like the guy buying the car saying, yeah, I can afford it. He doesn't understand the bigger picture of what's going to happen. When we see certain things, the devil will present you something, and from your point of view, it may look like, well, that's true. But he's trying to seduce us. He's trying to get us off the path. Off the path that God would have us on. The Webster's says that deceive is to cause to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. So to deceive is somebody doing this. To deceive is to cause to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. So in other words, something is wrong, but somebody causes us to think it's right. You have a whole lot of those things going on right now in the world. The source is Satan. That's really what I'll focus on today. Satan is the source of all that. I know we sort of know that, but we need to really know it, that anything, we have to know that he is trying to do this in our lives right now. We don't have to be afraid of it, we just have to be aware of it. He is attempting to cause each and every one of us to think and accept as valid, to think on and accept as valid things that aren't. And he's doing it all over the world. You can see people are calling things that are absolutely wrong in the Word of God, and they're saying, this is okay, this is right. So they're causing, it's a deception, and they themselves may think, it's not even know that they're, these people know what they're doing, they may have bought it hook, line, and sinker, and are sincerely, they think they're right. But the source of it, the enemy, it's wrong. But they'll tell you, it's right. And they'll get mad at you, if you think it's wrong. Why? Because they think it's right. They'll argue with you. They'll say, how dare you? Don't you know? This is right. This is okay now. What would you say? You know, they're like, well, how could you say this is wrong? But what are they basing it being right on? It's not the word. So they say, well, this other thing is okay. Well, the devil is sly, and he's gotten whole groups of people all over the world to believe certain things. And then what happens is there's a whole bunch of people that buy the lie or know that it's a lie, but still, because of whatever reason, decide, I'm going to promote this, I'm going to go down this path. And you have people, especially in what we would call media and movies and content, that subscribe to certain areas, and they will knowingly or unknowingly push these things and make it look like we were talking about, they'll make it look a certain way so that everything is okay, there is nothing wrong here, even though it's a lie, that it's okay. They'll show all the good sides of it. They'll show it in movies. See, this is okay. This is all right. See, there's nothing that bad that happened here. See, and they'll portray this thing that doesn't exist. But people all over the world are deceived into thinking that does exist. Well, it was in a movie I saw. That's the way it happens, even though that movie is a lie. Or based on something that's a lie. Or it's in a book I read, even though that author was deceived and is telling that story from their point of view, which is warped and wrong, but they will say, see, it works out this way, when in reality, it doesn't actually work out that way because it's founded on a lie. So the devil is a liar. He can't help himself but to deceive. He goes around causing people to think on something and to believe stuff that isn't true. One of my instructors said it this way: deceive is to cause on to think on things that aren't true. If somebody's deceiving you, they're getting you away from the truth and causing you to think on something. Well, consider this. And the author of that, ultimately, even though people may propagate lies and deception, the ultimate author is Satan. And he does this to everyone, but we need to know as Christians, since he is the enemy of God, he is going to go about, if he can, to deceive the saint, to deceive you and I, to get you and I to accept something that's not true as though it is. This is what he does, and it's very effective. Think of every sin that has ever been committed. Why would you sin? Unless you thought something and believed something that wasn't true. There's deception all the way up the chain. Well, I just don't have a choice. Lie. I have to. Lie. That person's wife's better than my wife. Lie. You know, this thing, if I eat 50 gallons of this thing, it's going to make me happy. Lie. If I kill that person, that'll make me happy. Lie. That person did me wrong, and if they were dead, my life would be better. You think that's extreme? That's why people do it. They're so mad and so out of control that they think taking this person's life is the right answer. And again, some people have seen too many movies that the bad guy just ducks out and goes into oblivion and doesn't realize you commit a crime like that, they're going to be on you fast. And most people do not get away, and most people are in bars with their mugshot going, you know, I lost my temper, I'm sorry. Too bad, you just murdered somebody. Why would anybody murder? You don't have to be insane to murder. This is a defense. Anybody that kills somebody is temporarily not thinking right, but they're in a lie. You don't have to be clinically insane. You just have to believe a lie more than you believe reality. The reality is, I may be angry at that person, but if I kill them, my life is going to be a world of hurt. It does not happen like it does in science fiction movies, where the good, you know, bad guy's really cool and just goes around getting away with stuff. It doesn't happen that way. But deception will cause you to do something wrong. Who's the author of that? Satan twists it in every way to get us to think this is okay, to seduce us. And when he does, he's got us. Ephesians 4:17, let's look at that on your sheet. Ephesians 4:17 says, "This I say, therefore, and testify the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." What causes that blindness? It's the devil. It's deception. Their understanding is darkened. How do you get darkened? Because you're being deceived and you yield to it. You believe a lie. You act on a lie. And where does that lie come from? You're listening to what the devil is saying. We read this last week. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:2 on your sheet there. "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Whose minds the God of this age has blinded. We just read in Ephesians that these Gentiles, those without God, they're having their understanding darkened and having blindness of heart. Why? Because the enemy has gotten in there and clouded it to where people don't know right from wrong, truth from fiction. It's this cloud, it's this fog, it's this smoke, and it's what the enemy does. He goes about deceiving the nations. That's what he's doing. Because who in their right mind would reject Jesus as Savior? If you know what you're rejecting, if you know what you, some people, they do reject God flat out, but they're still deceived to some. I mean, there are people that have walked with God, have been with Him, and will still flat out reject Him. Now, that's rare. That's not the, but you can do it. God's not going to force anybody. It's a rare thing, but somebody could reject Him. But why would they reject Him? They're still believing a lie. They may have known God, but they still are deceived into thinking somehow something good's going to happen from rejecting the Christ. That means you're lost. There's nobody in hell that is enjoying themselves. That is one of the stupidest things somebody could ever say is, well, all my friends are going to be there. We'll have a good time. No. Not where you want to be. Well, I don't care. We'll just, you know, other people will be there. Yeah. No. You don't want to be there. That's a lie. We have an adversary. The devil, he is going and is, right now, we don't have to, this is not a bad confession, he is trying to deceive us even right now. Right now. Just because the Spirit of God is anointing and the anointing is coming on right now on here, the anointing is on me to preach. This Holy Spirit of God is ministering to our hearts. Yet the devil is still trying to steal, even right now. Right now, he is trying to deceive. He can't help himself. That's what he does. You read over in the parable of the sower that the word is sown, but immediately the devil comes to steal it. If he can get it immediately, he will. It won't, you know, if it gets planted, fine, he's going to come then too. He's going to come at every stage. Now we don't have to be scared of him. We just have to know he's going to come. And we have to check up on ourselves and say, is this a lie? Is what's being told to me, is this thing that's causing me distress, is it a lie? And we know where it comes from. We know he's trying to sow these things. And he has done it since the beginning. Let's go over to, let's turn over to Genesis. Genesis 3. I want to just spend a few minutes just looking at some examples of what Satan does, because he has not changed his tactics, because they work. Why change them? They work. They're getting good results. Don't fix what's not broken, right? Genesis 3, right now, just the fact that we're turning to Genesis, there are whole legions of people that would say, you people are believing this is the story of creation. Go look at it anywhere. I mean, people would say, well, this is the story or the creation story. So just by us turning to this, certain people would be like, fools. What are you looking at? There's nothing there. That's deception. Some people, they already are deceived. They're not going to look at it as truth. They're not going to come to God believing this is true. They're going to believe it's an allegorical thing or what? That's another lie. Well, maybe something like that happened, but it's an allegory. It's a lie. But some people will believe it. If you believe that lie, you won't take it as truth, and it doesn't really have any application. So anything in here is just, it's not true. The serpent didn't really come to Eve. That didn't really happen. Okay, did Jesus really come to the earth? Did he really die for our sins? This is a problem. Genesis 3 verse 1 says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now go back to Genesis 2, verse 16. So it should be, you know, previous page or something in your Bible. Genesis 2, verse 16, or actually verse 15 says, "Then the Lord God took the man, Adam, and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" Now, verse 18 says, "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.' And so then he created Eve." So Eve wasn't around, but God did say this. And Adam evidently told her. And the Bible says that the Lord used to come and walk with them. It's not far-fetched that the Lord talked with them about this. But at any account, she knew. And God did say this. He absolutely said it. Now look at what Satan did at the beginning. You know, we read these other scriptures that says in Revelation, that dragon, Satan, that serpent of old. This is the devil. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" Now, I'll probably get into this later, maybe not today, but I'm just going to just say this here because it fits. Satan is questioning something that she knows God said. And look what her response is initially. He said, Has God indeed said? And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the garden, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" So Satan said, did he really say that? And she said, "Yes, he did." That was her initial response. So Satan said, "Okay, good, just wanted to check," and he left. Is that what your Bible said? He didn't leave. Just because you say, God, he questions you and says, "You sure you're supposed to be doing that? Everybody ever heard that? You sure God told you to do that? You know, you sure God told you to do that job? You sure God told you to do that ministry?" Everybody ever hear that besides me? Yes. You sure that was God? No, what? Anybody? A few people? Absolutely. You sure? Are you sure you're supposed to marry that person? You sure that was the one? You sure you're supposed to live here? You sure you're supposed to live in that city? You sure you're supposed to do this? Did God really say? Did God really say this? You know when he starts saying that, when it looks a little bit rough or something? Notice he doesn't say that when everything is going well necessarily. Did God say that? Yeah, look around. It's awesome. It's when you get a little bump. You sure about this? You sure you heard from God? You sure you prayed enough before you made that business decision? Huh? And you could be really good the first time you come back. Yes, he did. I know exactly when he said it. He told me. I believe it. I'm where I'm supposed to be. But just like he was here, he's not necessarily that easy to get rid of. He'll throw you a little curveball now. Well then, what about this? You sure he said that? Because I don't know about this. Why is that happening then? Have you thought about this? I mean, he may have said that then, but then what about... You know what he's trying to get you to do? What's he trying to do? He's trying to deceive you. He's trying to seduce you. What do we say that is? Trying to get you to think on something that's not true. Trying to get you to seduce you away from what God did tell you and put you over here. Try to get you to believe that this, what you just said, yes, God said he's going to try to get you to move over here to where, well, I don't know. That's his game plan. It's exactly what he's trying to do. Get you to doubt what God said, gets you confused about what God said, gets you questioning, and gets you away from truth, away from safety. Let me tell you this. Being in the middle of God's will is the safest place you can ever be. Ever. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what the crime rate is. It does not matter. You could go somewhere. I mean, weird stuff happens everywhere. You know, these accident could happen where something falls out of a tree and kills somebody. You see these things. There could be zero crime rate in the middle of complete, you know, nice weather, nothing. And you say, well, I'm going to go there to get away from this because this is dangerous. The dangerous place is out of the will of God. I don't care where it is. I think I've told you this before. But when I was in the Philippines, Pastor Paul Chase had been there for 26 years. I don't know how many years, whatever it is now. Like, that was 2005. So, you know, I think he's been there like 36, 37 years. He was there, and we went into the middle. One day we went to Tondo, which is like the slums. It's the slums of Manila, and it's horrible. And we went to the garbage place, on people living in garbage, but we were in the middle of Tondo, and we had an armed guard with us. And he said, that's for you. That's for you guys. He goes down there with other people all the time and talks to these people and ministers to them and go right up to them. And he said, I'm called here. I know I'm supposed to be here. I don't know about you guys. I don't know why you're on this mission trip. God should have called you to be here, but if he didn't, that's why we have the armed guard. It's not fear. It's if you're not here where you're supposed to be, then you've got a problem. But if you're where God is told you to be, doing what God told you to do, you don't have a problem. You don't have to be afraid of anything. I don't care if there's a war going around you. It's not the time to say there's a war going on. I'm going to go over someplace else. That's not the time to leave. Because if God told you to be in the middle of that thing and you get out, now you're away from truth and safety. You've been deceived by what? Thinking what you see causes there to be danger. That's not what causes danger. People go down this highway, these highways every day, and there's deaths all the time in normal circumstances. People get on planes and they crash. Not saying that to put fear into anybody. You need to know where you're going, why you're going there, and you should always be led by God that I'm supposed to be here. And if somebody else may be scared to go someplace, but if you say, I'm supposed to be here, you need to know that and believe God has you here, so it's fine. Amen. Amen. So, what is Satan trying to do here? He said, and he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Eve shot back, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the garden, the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Now that is a complete lie. And Satan knows it, but he put it out there anyway. And now, he's going to weave a web. And he's going to question God. And he's going to question God's character. And he's going to appeal to the flesh. Verse 5, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That's a lie. It's that God knows you did this. Their eyes are going to be open, but what Satan is saying is God is withholding from you. God is not being true to his word. Yes, he's true to this person. He's true to this person, but he's not to you. He's left you here. If God called you here, why is this happening? He's questioning God and his character. What's he trying to do? Deceive. He's trying to get us to take the bait, to step over here and say, well, now that you mentioned it, and to have this other thing appeal to us. Verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, why is she looking back at the thing that God told her not to touch, eat, don't go near it? Why is she looking at it now? She knows she shouldn't, but she's tempted. This is what Satan does. This is a blueprint for how he gets the people of God off. He is wicked, he is a deceiver, and this is what he does. He puts something in front of you, he'll ask you, what about it? You may come back strong, but he asks you a second time, well, what about this? What should our response be? Same thing, God told me. What if he says it a third time? God said it and God is good and he will not put me in a position that's bad. What does he want you to do? Bite? Well, let me look at it again. I know I shouldn't, but it won't hurt to look. That's a lie. Sure. I'm just window shopping. Whoa. How many people started out window shopping? And then they came home with some stuff they didn't want. Well, I'm just looking, you know. I'm a married man, but it doesn't hurt to look. Oh, yeah. It hurts to look. You see how silent it got there? Woo. Nobody wants to amen. Nobody wants to say anything. It's the truth. Verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took the fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Then you see verse 8, then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then it goes more into this account. I'm just going to read a little bit of it. Verse 9, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? God knows where he is. He's doing that for Adam's benefit. Verse 10, and so he said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Then he says, verse 11, who told you that you were naked? Who told you that? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and ate. And then the Lord God goes to the woman and said, why did you do that? And the serpent, she said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. But this is the same thing. This is a blueprint of what Satan does. He comes, he questions, and his tactic is to deceive, is to get us off, is to move us away from, ultimately, is to move us off the plan of God. Away from what God would have us to do. If we know he's there, everybody in this room knows, has heard, and believes that there is a devil. But we don't take it seriously sometimes of what is going on in our life and why things are disruptive, why things are stressing us, why things are being tempted. We have to know that there is an enemy. We don't fear him. You don't be scared of him. But you have to know he's there. And these things and these ideas and these thoughts, I think we'll probably get into that more. We'll see, you know, a different day. But they come, they emanate from an enemy. He does this over and over and over and over to men and women all over the globe constantly, and he's done it for all of history. Since this account we just read, this is what he does. And he is trying it, he's done it, he's attempted it this last week to everybody in this room and everybody within the sound of my voice. And he will do it today, he'll do it tomorrow, he will come. We don't have to yield, but he will come. We have to know this. This can't be a secondary thing that, well, I'm just skating and I'm outside the scope of normal, real reality. The world may not know this. The world may not know that's what's going on. They think they're thinking things up, or that a philosopher they read, you know, believed this, or someone was propagated and it came out of this man's brain. But all lies originate from Satan. Everyone is a variation on a theme that was sowed. This is the same way we just read about Adam and Eve, is the same way some of the greatest deceptions in history have come to pass. Somebody thought something and Satan said, what about this? Yeah. Have you ever thought of this? And somebody says, ooh, I wonder about this. And starts thinking about it and starts developing stuff around it and theories and ideas and plans and starts talking to other people. And other people go, well, I wonder about that. Let's look into this and this. And stuff comes forth. And people say, well, what are you saying? I'm devil? I'm demon possessed? I'm listening to the devil? Not in that way, but yes, on every front there is. When sometimes you see this person saying this and this person, they're all kind of going, it seems orchestrated. That's because it is. That's because it is. There is. It's not one person. Some people are sincerely believing what they're believing. They're sincere people. They might even be nice people, but they are believing a lie that was given to them through all kinds of things, influence, and so they're going forth. I'm not believing anything. There is no devil, just these are people. Yeah, but it's all being moved like this to people that will yield. And that's what's happening. You say, oh my gosh, don't people see it? No, they don't. They don't. It's cloudy. It's muddy. It's blindness. It's no, they don't understand because they don't even believe that figure exists. They don't believe there's a devil, so how could there be somebody orchestrating it? That's just conspiracy. That's fear. No, that's reality. That's what's actually going on, whether you know it or not. And the best thing the devil can hope for is for you to think he doesn't exist. Because he can do whatever he wants and it'll be blamed on this person or this group or this ideology. It's him. It's deception. It's wickedness. He's pushing things on all fronts and bringing it forth. You're like, oh my gosh, why is that person doing that? Because it's this influence. The good news is there is a God and there is the Word. And if we'll just stay with what God said, if Eve would have just said, and I'm not judging Eve, I'm sure we'll meet her someday, and Adam, you know, there's a lot of people that are going to want to talk to them, I'm sure, but you know, we don't know that we would have done much better. We have the benefit of looking at this, but if she would have said, no, God said this, and he comes back, no, God said it, no, 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 day after day, no, answer's still the same, no. But what about no? What? No. But no. But what? Look at no. I said no. No. If she would have stayed there, but if he comes to us and we say no, and just stay there day after day, no, 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 no. And with the Word, we can't lose. We will stay. We have to know he's going to try it. We know what our answer is. What he tries to do is put a crack in it to get you to question what you already believe. Part of it is just solidifying right up and saying, no, God's true. I believe his word. There is a liar. You're the liar. I'm staying here. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.